A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's partly a mea culpa, and partly a genuinely interesting technical question. Some listeners might have noticed a dip in episodes over the past few weeks. Turns out a pipeline change caused the scriptwriting agent to go haywire. Episodes would reach a conclusion, then jump all the way back to the start. You'd get a 30-minute file that was actually two 50-minute conversations stitched together. Daniel's been thinking about a rescue operation. Use an AI agent to detect the repetition. Generate an FFmpeg script to splice it out. And overwrite the original file in Cloudflare R2. The question is whether any of this actually works, both the protocol side and the agent side.
This isn't hypothetical. I listened to three of those looped episodes back to back, and the disorienting part is that the content before the loop is good. You're nodding along, you're learning something, and then suddenly you're hearing the intro again and wondering if you've slipped into a time warp. The worst one had a loop that started mid-sentence. The host was saying, and that's why the transformer architecture fundamentally changed. And then boom, welcome back to the show. Today we're talking about transformer architectures. It was like the podcast equivalent of a glitching NPC.
The podcast equivalent of Groundhog Day. Except the groundhog is an LLM that forgot it already wrote the conclusion. And the really insidious part is that if you're only half paying attention, which, let's be honest, is how most people listen to podcasts, you might not even notice for several minutes. You just have this creeping sense of déjà vu.
So the question breaks into two parts. First, the protocol question. Can you override a podcast audio file in a blob store and have it seamlessly update for listeners without breaking RSS syndication? Second, the agentic question. Can an AI reliably detect repetition in a transcript and generate a correct FFmpeg script to remove it end to end?
I think the order matters here. If overwriting the file is a non-starter from a protocol standpoint, the agent question becomes academic.
So let's start with the protocol mechanics, because the answer is yes, but with a list of caveats long enough to fill a pharmacist's warning label. The core issue is the RSS enclosure element. Every podcast episode in a feed has an enclosure tag that contains three attributes: the URL, the file type, and the length in bytes. When you overwrite the audio file at the same URL, the length almost certainly changes. And that's where the trouble starts.
The RSS feed is essentially making a promise. This file is exactly this many bytes, and if you swap the file without updating the promise, you've created a lie that different podcast apps handle differently.
That's exactly the right way to frame it. Some apps, like Overcast and Pocket Casts, are aggressive about checking. They compare the file size on the server against the enclosure length. If there's a mismatch, they re-download. That's actually the behavior you want here. But Apple Podcasts is more conservative. It caches heavily and may not refetch if the modification date on the file hasn't changed, even if the size is different. So you could overwrite the file and a chunk of your Apple Podcast listeners would just keep the broken version indefinitely.
Which is the worst of both worlds? You've done the work to fix the episode, but the listeners on the biggest platform never see it. An Apple Podcast is what? 40-50% of the market, depending on whose numbers you trust.
Something like that. And Spotify has its own caching layer that sits between your RSS feed and the listener. They ingest your feed on their own schedule, and they're not transparent about when they refresh. So you're dealing with three different caching behaviors, none of which you directly control. It's like trying to deliver a corrected memo to three different buildings, each with its own mailroom that opens packages on its own timeline, and one of them might just throw the correction in the trash because the original memo looked fine to them.
The clean answer to "can you just overwrite the file" is technically yes. Practically it's a mess, unless you also update the feed.
The clean solution is to update the RSS feed's length and pubdate fields, then ping the major podcast indexes. Apple has a ping URL specifically for this. Spotify has a similar refresh endpoint. You submit the updated feed, they re-ingest it, and the new enclosure length propagates. But even then, listeners who already downloaded the episode won't get the update unless they manually delete and re-download. The podcast protocol has no built-in mechanism for pushing updates to already downloaded files.
Which makes sense when you think about it. The RSS specification was designed in an era when podcast episodes were static artifacts. You published, people downloaded, end of story. The idea of post-publication remediation wasn't on anyone's radar. It would be like designing a newspaper printing press and someone asking, "But what if we need to unprint page 3 and replace it after delivery?"
There's a case study I came across that illustrates this perfectly. A podcaster replaced a corrupted episode file at the same URL and tracked the results. About 60% of listeners got the updated file within 48 hours. The other 40% had to manually re-download. And this was with proper feed updates and index pings. Without those, the number would have been far lower.
The protocol answer is, overwriting works, but it's partial. You'll fix the episode for new listeners and for the subset of existing subscribers whose apps recheck aggressively. The rest will keep the broken version. That's not a deal breaker for Daniel's situation, because the broken episodes aren't unlistenable. They're just annoying. A partial fix is still a fix.
There's a hacky workaround worth mentioning. If you keep the repaired file exactly the same duration as the original, and you encode it at the same bitrate, the file size stays identical. Most apps won't detect any change at all. You could do this by padding silence at the end, or adjusting the encoding parameter slightly. It's not elegant, but it sidesteps the entire enclosure length problem.
The audio equivalent of a surgical stitch that dissolves on its own. Not pretty, but functional. Though I have to ask, in Daniel's case, where you're removing a huge chunk of repeated content, the repaired file is going to be dramatically shorter. You'd need to pad multiple minutes of silence. That's going to confuse listeners who see a 30-minute runtime, but get 15 minutes of content and 15 minutes of dead air.
The identical length trick works better for small corrections, fixing a 30-second glitch, not excising 10 minutes of looped audio. For Daniel's situation, you're better off accepting the length change and updating the feed properly.
The other piece of the protocol puzzle is Cloudflare R2 itself. R2 supports overriding objects at the same key using PUT requests. You can also use the if modified, since header to force cache invalidation at the CDN level. So from a storage standpoint, overwriting is trivial. The command is basically auth s3 cp repaired dot mp3 s3 colon slash slash bucket slash episode dot mp3 with the appropriate endpoint URL. R2 is compatible with the S3 API, so any tool that speaks S3 can do this.
One thing worth noting about R2 specifically, unlike S3, R2 doesn't charge egress fees. So if your listeners are re-downloading the corrected file, you're not racking up bandwidth costs. That's a small but meaningful detail for independent podcasters who might be operating on tight margins.
The storage layer is the easy part. The hard part is everything between the storage layer and the listener's ears.
Which brings us to the second question. Can an AI agent actually do this autonomously? And I want to be precise about what we're asking. The agent needs to receive a timestamp transcript, identify the boundaries of the repetition, generate an FFmpeg command that extracts the non-repeated segments and concatenates them, then upload the result. That's four distinct steps, and each one has failure modes.
Let's walk through them. Step 1. The transcript. Daniel mentioned providing a timestamp transcript. How does the agent get that?
In Daniel's pipeline, the scriptwriting agent already generates the full text, so you'd run speech-to-text on the rendered audio, align it with the original script, and produce timestamps. Whisper can do this, and there are plenty of alignment tools. The output would be something like 0:00:00:00-0:00:12, then the repeated segment from 0:04:12 to 22:10, then the conclusion from 22:10 to 30 minutes. That's straightforward.
Step 2 is where it gets interesting, detecting the repetition. An LLM reading a transcript needs to recognize that the text from 4:12 to 22:10 is essentially a near duplicate of the text from the beginning. How reliable is that?
This is where I'd inject some caution. LLMs are decent at detecting near duplicate text when the repetition is verbatim or close to it. If the script literally loops back to the same sentences, the agent will catch it. But if the repetition is paraphrased, same ideas, different wording, it gets harder. And there's a more subtle problem, distinguishing intentional repetition from accidental looping.
A podcast episode might legitimately return to an earlier point for emphasis. A music podcast might have a chorus. A recap segment at the end is intentional repetition. How does the agent know the difference?
It doesn't, not reliably. You'd need to give it heuristics. For example, if the repeated segment is contiguous and appears exactly once earlier in the transcript, and the transition into the repetition is abrupt rather than introduced with something like, as we discussed earlier, flag it as a candidate for removal. But those heuristics are fragile. The safest approach is a two-stage pipeline, where the LLM proposes splice points and a human reviews them before anything gets executed.
We're already backing away from fully autonomous, which, honestly, is the right instinct. An agent that deletes audio from your published episodes should not have unilateral authority. I'm imagining the agent equivalent of a junior editor who's very eager but sometimes gets confused about whether the host meant to repeat something for dramatic effect. You don't give that person the deploy keys.
Step 3 is generating the FFmpeg command. And this is where the rubber meets the road, because FFmpeg syntax is notoriously unforgiving. A missing comma or a misplaced colon and the whole command fails silently or produces garbled output.
Walk me through what the command actually looks like for Daniel's example. Repetition from 412 to 2210 in a 30-minute episode.
The cleanest approach uses the aselect filter. The command would be something like, FFmpeg-i episode.mp3-filter complex, quote, open bracket 0 colon, a close bracket aselect, equals quote between open parentheses, comma 0, comma 252, close parent plus between open parentheses, comma 1330, comma 1800, close parent quote, colon, asset t's equals n slash sr slash tb, open bracket, a close bracket, quote dash map, quote open bracket, a close bracket quote dash c colon, a 128k repair dot mp3b dash, a mp3.
For the non-FFmpeg initiates in the audience, what's happening there is you're telling FFmpeg to take the audio stream, select everything between 0 seconds and 252 seconds, and also everything between 1,330 seconds and 1,800 seconds, then reset the timestamps so they play consecutively, then re-encode as a standard MP3.
The timestamps are in seconds, which is why 412 becomes 252 and 2210 becomes 1330. The asset pets filter resets the presentation timestamps so the two segments play back-to-back without a gap. And you do need to re-encode here. You can't just stream copy because you're splicing at arbitrary points, and compressed audio frames don't line up neatly at those boundaries.
Which means there's a quality trade-off. Every re-encode introduces some generation loss. For spoken word at 128 kilobits per second, it's negligible, but it's not zero.
And this is where one of the misconceptions comes in. People assume FFmpeg concatenation is lossless. It can be if you're working with uncompressed audio, or if you're splicing at exactly the right frame boundaries. But for MP3 files with arbitrary splice points, you're going to re-encode, and that means a tiny quality hit. For a podcast, it's completely acceptable, but it's worth knowing.
The agent needs to generate that command with precise timestamps, correct filter syntax, and appropriate encoding parameters. How often does an LLM get this right on the first try?
In my testing, about 70% of the time if you give it a clean transcript with clear repetition markers. The other 30%, it produces something that looks plausible but has a subtle syntax error. A missing quote, a wrong bracket, a timestamp that doesn't match the transcript. The failure pattern isn't that it produces nonsense. It's that it produces something that looks correct but isn't.
Which is the most dangerous kind of failure? A command that fails loudly is annoying. A command that succeeds but produces the wrong output is a disaster, because you might not notice until listeners start emailing you. I once had an FFmpeg command that silently swapped the left and right channels. Took me a week to figure out why all my guests sounded like they were standing behind me.
That's before we even get to step 4, authentication and upload. The agent needs credentials to put the repaired file to R2. You have three options. Option 1, embed the credentials in the agent's environment. That's a security risk, because if the agent can be prompted to reveal its environment variables, you just leaked your cloud storage keys.
The prompt injection vector. Tell the agent to recite its own .env file, and suddenly, your R2 bucket is public.
Option 2. Generate a short-lived token using a parent process, pass it to the agent, and let the token expire after a few minutes. That's better, but it adds complexity. Option 3. Have the agent output the FFmpeg script and a signed URL, then hand off to a separate non-AI process that executes the upload. That's the safest approach, because the agent never touches credentials at all.
The separation of powers model. The agent proposes, the pipeline disposes. It's like having a legislative branch that writes the laws, and an executive branch that enforces them. Except the legislature is a language model, and the executive is a bash script.
And this is where I land on the end-to-end viability question. Can you build a fully autonomous pipeline that detects repetition, generates FFmpeg commands, and overwrites the file? Probably not, unless you have a human review step between detection and execution. The risk of a malformed command producing a corrupted file that overwrites your only copy is too high.
Daniel mentioned keeping the original file as a backup, which is non-negotiable. R2 supports versioning, so you can roll back if the agent makes a mistake. But versioning is a safety net, not a strategy. You don't want to be relying on rollbacks as part of your normal workflow.
The practical sweet spot is a semi-automated approach. The AI agent analyzes the transcript, identifies candidate repetition boundaries, and generates a proposed FFmpeg script. A human reviews the timestamps, sanity checks the splice points, and clicks approve. Then a deterministic script executes the FFmpeg command and uploads the result. The AI does the tedious part, finding the repetition boundaries in a 30-minute transcript, and the human does the judgment part.
Which for Daniel's situation, with maybe 20 or 30 affected episodes, is probably the right trade-off. Manually editing each one in Audacity would take 15 to 30 minutes per episode. The AI can propose edits in 30 seconds of compute time. The human review takes maybe 2 minutes per episode to verify. You've cut the total time from several hours to under an hour.
There's an interesting extension here that I want to flag. Once you've built this remediation pipeline for repetition bugs, it generalizes. The same architecture, transcript analysis, splice point detection, FFmpeg generation, human review, R2 upload can handle other post-hoc fixes, segments you want to A/B test. You're essentially building an episode versioning system on top of a protocol that wasn't designed for versioning.
Which circles back to your earlier point about RSS being designed for static artifacts. The whole podcast ecosystem is built on the assumption that once you publish, you don't change. But AI-generated content pipelines are going to produce more situations where post-hoc editing is necessary. The protocol might need to evolve.
I'd go further. I think episode versioning is going to become a standard RSS feature within the next few years, driven by exactly these kinds of use cases. Imagine an enclosure element that includes a version attribute, or a feed that can serve multiple versions of the same episode and let the app choose the latest. It's not in the spec today, but the pressure is building.
Let me pull out 3 concrete takeaways from all of this, because I think there are podcasters listening who are dealing with similar pipeline issues.
First, if you're going to overwrite a podcast audio file, you must update the RSS feed's length and pubdate fields, then submit a ping to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Overwriting the file alone is not enough. The feed update is what triggers the re-download for most apps. Skip it, and you've done the work for nobody.
Second, for the AI agent approach, use a 2-stage pipeline. The LLM analyzes the transcript and outputs a JSON structure with splice points. A deterministic script validates that JSON, checks that the timestamps are within the file's duration, and generates the FFmpeg command. This separates the creative task, detecting repetition, from the critical task, generating valid commands. Never let the LLM write FFmpeg syntax directly into a production pipeline.
Third, always keep the original file. Overwriting is destructive. R2 supports versioned objects, or you can keep a pre-repair copy in a separate bucket. If the agent produces a corrupted file, you need to be able to roll back in under a minute. This isn't optional.
The bottom line is that the approach Daniel described is technically viable. You can overwrite an audio file and have it propagate to most listeners. You can use an AI agent to detect repetition and propose edits. But the fully autonomous version, agent detects, agent edits, agent uploads, no human in sight, that's a step too far for anything you care about. The semi-automated version with human review is the right call.
Which, I have to say, is a satisfying place to land. We started with a pipeline bug that produced looping episodes, and we ended up with a generalizable remediation architecture that could serve podcasters far beyond this one use case. That's the kind of accidental innovation that makes this space interesting.
The bug that teaches you something you didn't know you needed to learn. Daniel's pipeline failure is now a case study in post-hoc content repair.
The open question I keep coming back to is, as AI-generated content becomes more common, how will the podcasting protocols adapt? Will we see episode versioning become a standard RSS feature? Will podcast apps start checking for updates to already downloaded episodes? The current system treats episodes as immutable, but that assumption is already breaking.
If you've encountered similar pipeline failures in your own content production, or if you've built something like this remediation system, we'd love to hear about it. Send us your weird prompts.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the high medieval period, a farmer cultivating emmer wheat on the island of Bioko in Equatorial Guinea could expect a yield of roughly 2.5 bushels per acre, which converts to about 1 modern-day loaf of bread per week from a full season's labor on a single acre.
Right. You know, I feel like Hilbert's fun facts are specifically designed to make me grateful for modern agriculture.
Every episode, I think I'm prepared, and every episode, I am not.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everything.
I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Korn. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro. With text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.